Please be seated. I am a lousy gift giver. It is difficult for me to buy the right gift. Always have been. It's always been a struggle for me. My poor wife, I think she got gross, ugly sweaters for a lot of years that just... Does anybody struggle with buying the right gift? Yeah. Would anybody claim they're pretty good at buying gifts? Are you a good, thoughtful gift giver? Everybody probably struggles with it a little bit. It's tough. And I'm awed by people that are so thoughtful. You know, we all have those people, and they make this season kind of difficult sometimes because, you know, if you draw their name in some sort of draw and you know they're a wonderful gift giver and they're going to bring you that perfect thing, and, you know, you get them a sweater or something that was, you know, not very thoughtful. But I envy those people. I envy that they can do such a great job of buying gifts and making it match perfectly to the person that they're buying for. And so that in itself could cause some stress at this time. This whole notion of getting the right thing for everybody, making sure everybody's taken care of and it's a good gift, can be stressful. One of my favorite shows, and don't judge me for this, but we really enjoy the show Big Bang Theory. And there's an episode they're gonna watch part of an episode here in just a moment. But just a little bit of background in case you don't know about the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory is about a group of scientists, geniuses that are astrophysicists and engineers and their friends. And this whole situation comedy is based around these people. And these people have been cast kind of in the stereotypical way we would think about geeks or scientists. You know, they are... They've made these people kind of caricatures of those type of people where, you know, they lack social skills. They struggle with what to say at the right time. The main character, Dr. Sheldon Cooper, is kind of an obsessive compulsive. He's just got all kinds of weird things going on, and he's very awkward socially. He doesn't like to touch people because, you know, again, that's the stereotypical thing about, you know, what we would think about someone that is this ultra geek. They just don't like physical contact. They don't like that. Everything's logical for these people. They don't get sarcasm and they don't get humor. And so this is all kind of built around these characters. And Sheldon right now, the main character that you'll see, is he's in this dilemma. He's already said that he just does not like the season of gift giving because it just makes no logical sense. Why would we do this? Because you're going to give me a gift and then I have to reciprocate that with something equal. And, you know, how is this all going to work out? Why did we do it anyways? Because if you spent $50 on me and I spent $50 on you, it's logically a wash. Why did we do this whole thing? And so he's in this dilemma because another character in the show, his name is Penny. Penny's not the scientist. She's the good-looking blonde that's in the show that all these science geeks are interested in. She has told Sheldon she's going to buy him a gift. And he doesn't know what to do, and this is the dilemma. She's going to come, the gift exchange is coming up. How am I going to resolve this? How is this going to play out? So I'd like for you to watch this clip here.
Great news, Leonard. I've solved my penny gift dilemma.
Yippee.
You see, the danger was that I might under or over reciprocate, but I have devised a foolproof plan. I will open her gift to me first and then excuse myself feigning digestive distress. Then I'll look up the price of her gift online, choose the basket closest to that value, give it to her, and then I'll return the others for a full refund.
Brilliant.
It is, isn't it? Is it okay if I hide them in your room? That smell makes me nauseated.
Do whatever you want.
Thank you. That's very gracious. Gentlemen?
May Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
How's your leg?
Very good. Thanks for asking. Come on in.
Oh, good, Penny. You're here to exchange gifts. You'll be pleased to know I'm prepared for whatever you have to offer.
Okay, here.
I should note, I'm having some digestive distress. So if I excuse myself abruptly, don't be alarmed. Oh, a napkin.
Turn it over.
To Sheldon, live long and prosper, Leonard Nimoy.
He came into the restaurant. Sorry, the napkin's dirty. He wiped his mouth with it.
I possess the DNA of Leonard Nimoy. Do you realize what this means? All I need is a healthy ovum and I can grow my own Leonard Nimoy.
Okay, all I'm giving you is the napkin, Sheldon.
Be right back. I know. It's not enough, is it? Here.
Leonard, look, Sheldon's hugging me.
Apologize there for our power glitch probably messed that up. It was awfully choppy there, but if you missed it, just to kind of recap here, Sheldon comes in. What he's going to do, he's worried that he won't be able to reciprocate this gift to Penny because he doesn't know what value he's going to be receiving. So he buys all these Bed Bath & Beyond gifts. That's what they're always carrying in. He's got small ones and medium-sized them. They've got just 10 of them, and that's what the guys are carrying in. And then when he gets this gift, which is a napkin signed by his hero, Leonard Nimoy, who plays Spock in Star Trek. You probably heard of him. He just freaks out because it's such a perfect gift from him. So he doesn't know what to do. So he goes back in. Which one's going to match? Which one in face value is going to be equal? He just gives them all to her. He piles them all there. And she says, Sheldon, what have you done? He says, I know that's not enough. And so what he then does is, and what you missed there, he goes to hug her. Now, this is from a guy who's not going to touch anybody. And it's this real awkward, you know, he's trying to put his arms around a woman that he's never touched before, you know. So this very awkward thing. And that's what this is about. And I thought that was a very cute way to think about this idea of giving gifts and receiving gifts. And I want to consider a little bit about Penny's gift, because she's one of those people that I envy. She came up with this very good gift for her friend Sheldon. It was very good because it came from her heart. She had an opportunity to give Sheldon what she knew he would love. And she knew that because she knew him, and she knew what he liked, and she knew what he enjoyed, and she knew he was such a fan of Leonard Nimoy. And for sure, this was something just unique for Sheldon as well, because, you know, I don't know that I would get very excited about a dirty napkin as a Christmas gift. But for him, it was priceless. And no doubt that was at some cost for her. She had to interrupt him as he was eating his meal at the Cheesecake Factory where she works and ask him for this napkin and if he would autograph it. So that cost something. And then in regards to how Sheldon received the gift, because that's a skill as well. It's one thing to be able to purchase a gift, but it is also maybe sometimes more difficult, the skill of receiving correctly a gift that's been given to you. And clearly he acknowledges the value. And to him, it's very valuable, but it is also relative. Again, like we said, this is something that you and I probably would not cherish at all. But he has a lot of difficulty expressing his feelings because that's just who he is. He has a hard time showing his emotions because he's a lot like Spock, the guy that signed his napkin. You remember Spock from Star Trek? It's just all logical. You know, we don't have any kind of emotions. And he has some of those characteristics as well. But his intentions are good. And he's spot on. He does want to express the best way he can the gratitude for this most valuable gift. So this idea of gift giving and gift receiving, I want us to take a look at in Scripture some stories about this gift. There is a gift that's about to be given. We're going to pick up the story in Luke in chapter 1 in verse 26. A gift is about to be given. And let's watch how people receive the gift once it is given. In the sixth month, this is verse 26, of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Now, a couple things about Galilee and the town of Nazareth that's in Galilee. Not a Boyd Township. It's kind of a rundown place in the Judean area there. It's cast in a negative light. John, in the book of John in chapter 7, when Jesus is on trial and they're understanding this person has claimed to have come from Galilee, the Christ, when he's on trial, the quote is, "No prophet is to arise from Galilee." How could some prophet come out of Galilee? Earlier in John, when Philip meets the Messiah, he runs back to tell Nathanael about Messiah. And what does Nathanael say? "Can anything good from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" So to be from Galilee, to be from Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph were at, was not the most positive thing. It wasn't the greatest place to have this gift start. Not unlike a dirty napkin with a signature on it and the wipings off of somebody's mouth. But the gift was going to be of tremendous value. So Gabriel comes to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I want you to note Mary's response. The first thing that Luke records about Mary is that she's troubled and she wondered about this. Watch as you see her react. Watch how you see her receive this gift that she is about to receive. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever and ever." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" King James says, "How shall this be?" And I want to stop right there and think about that just a little bit, because, you know, the first couple times through this, I'm thinking, you know, last week we read about Zechariah, and Zechariah had the same angel come. Gabe, big old Gabe, came and met Zechariah and announced the birth of his son, John the Baptist. And both of them, when they hear the initial news from Gabriel to Zechariah, "You'll have a son, Mary, you'll have a son," both of them follow with a question. They both follow with a question. I'm always kind of wondering, well, you know, Zechariah gets beat up a little bit for the question he asks. Mary does not. But there's a difference in the questions. Because Mary does not ask, "How will I know this?" That's what Zechariah, "How will I know it?" Because he, at that point, didn't know it. He didn't take it. He didn't own it. He didn't believe it. We don't have that indication from Mary. We have just the opposite there. We assume she's got it. This is going to happen because she says, "How shall it come? I believe it's going to happen. But how are you going to do that? Because I'm a virgin and I kind of know how babies are supposed to be born, and that hasn't happened yet with me. How shall this happen?" That's a different response. She takes it, similar to Sheldon. You couldn't see it there, but Sheldon did not question whether that napkin was real or not. It had Leonard Nimoy's signature on it. It was just, he took it. He received it. He embraced it. It was his. He adored it, this gift that he had. "How shall this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, And she who was has said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Again, look at that response of Mary. Look at what happened there. I am the Lord's servant. 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" I think that's a fantastic verse there as well. Elizabeth, maybe in her 80s, is encounter with her younger cousin, maybe 14 or 15-year-old Mary, and she said, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" An 80-year-old woman talking to a 15-year-old woman about a child that's not yet born that she's going to call Lord. It's incredible. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb, John the Baptist, leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill her promises, his promises to her. Mary's response. She sings this song. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed for Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. 3 months, about the time of John the Baptist's birth. So Mary is given a gift. And she exemplifies, in my opinion, a good gift getter. She mentally doesn't understand it. She can't cognitively wrap her mind around this gift that she is about to receive, to be the mother of our Savior. She doesn't get that. She says she was perplexed and troubled, and she wondered about it. But her will was aligned with God. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And her spirit is fully rejoicing as she received this gift, and she does it through worship, through song. And we have that beautiful song that we just read. Sheldon, kind of the same way. He receives this gift. He doesn't, as smart as he is, he can't get it, can't understand it. But he responds. He responds in such a powerful way. And he brings all these gifts. And Penny says, "Sheldon, what have you done?" He said, "I know, it's not enough. It's not enough." So if you walk away today a little bit thinking about gleaning from this story how to be a better gift giver, you know, knowing who you're buying for, that's okay. Or if you walk away knowing you need to appreciate a little bit more the gifts that you're going to receive here in a few weeks, that's okay too. But that's not really what we're after here. It's deeper than that. You see, there's this gift that we're given, and we have a picture of this gift that we think about here, and it's the picture of a manger. It's a cradle. And that's a symbol that we have in front of us here today. And that's this gift that you and I receive. This idea of the cradle. But if you look closely at that picture, there's a shadow of a cross. Because the cradle by itself is really not near any value unless you understand the cradle in light of the cross. Because the babe that came on Christmas came for the purpose of the cross. And we can't forget that. And the value of that gift, as we look at it from here during this season, we're brought back in to be reminded of this. The value of that is to unwrap this present again, to look again at the cradle. And when you open that package, you realize some very powerful and strong things. That the cradle points to a cross, and that child had to be the Savior of the world, done by the work on the cross. You know, John 3:16, probably the most popular scripture in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the story of the cross. But it's kind of easy to wave a real broad stroke over this idea of the cross, that it's for the whole world, as John says, it's for the whole world. We receive the cradle, we receive the Christ at Christmas time because he came for the whole world. But we got to bring it down to something that's more personal. Because it is. Christ came for the whole world, but he also came, we need to think about it specifically. He came here for Joel. So I want to think about it this way. I want to look at it like this. I received a gift once. And the gift looks like this. It's a cross. And, you know, we could apply this John 3:16 to that, and I can think about, you know, because Christ came and he died. God gave himself for all of us. But this gift is a little different because when you flip it over, it's got my name on it. It says to Joel. And that becomes a little more real because that cross was for me. But even, this is kind of a special cross because when you slip the bottom of it off, it's a thumb drive. It's a flash drive. And if you don't know what a flash drive is, it's a computer thing that stores information. And this cross has got data on it. It's got information on it. And so I was interested to see what was going to be on this flash drive. So I put it in the computer and I pulled up and I get a whole bunch of file folders. And that's a little difficult to read. And that's okay because it's personal. I don't want you to read it all. But those folders say things like, things I've done in anger, lustful thoughts, hateful actions, idols, greedy decisions, filthy conversations, deceptions. That cross that says to Joel, on it are files and files. And you're only going to see some of them. That's all that would fit on the screen. Scores and scores of folders that are mine that are categorized this way. And so I opened up the folder and I had these things on the inside and they were like reports. And that is really hard to read, but it is. And I'm glad it is because there's detail in there. Because it says on August 6, 1968, you had this thought and you did this gossip. Or you envied here. Or you coveted this. Or you slandered this person. Page after page after page. My whole history of embarrassing things that I'm glad you can't quite read there because it's awful stuff. And that's what's on my thumb drive. That's what's on my cross. And everyone on stamped at the bottom, it says guilty. Everyone. Pretty hard to go through all these. It was difficult for me to go through them. But what happened is I scrolled down, I saw something unique on every one. At the bottom of that is my signature, but on top of it, written in blood, is Jesus Christ, PIF, paid in full. Every one, page after page after page, on my gift, on my present, on my thumb drive, every sin, paid in full. That's the gift. That's the gift that I receive at Christmas time. It's the perfect present for me. It's like the napkin for Sheldon. It was a perfect fit. You can't get any more perfect than that. That's exactly what I need. And I need to realize that more fully. I need to realize that I've got a thumb drive full and mine's terabytes and picabytes and it's just huge because I've got lots of sin. Every one of them. Paid in full. Jesus Christ, guilty, no more. Perfect gift for me. I'm like Zechariah sometimes, though, because, you know, Zechariah was given that gift as well. You know, here, we're got a wonderful thing for you, Zech. I'm going to give you a kid. And he says, Gabe, I don't know. Can't quite believe you. I've seen the angel thing before. They come in here, all they want is my money, you know. You know, are you really the real deal? And he says, how's this going to be? You don't believe me? He gets kind of beat up for it. He can't speak, you know, for the 9 months at that. I'm that way too. I doubt. Paid in full. Really? Do I really believe that? You know, all this stuff that I've done. Do you really do that, God? Or even another way I'll deny it. Maybe he doesn't know something about those things I did. Yeah, omniscient God doesn't know about those. He does. But maybe another way that I disbelieve that paid in full is I think, you know, maybe from now on, I'll just do a little better. I'll act a little better and I'll earn my way somehow. And I really don't need that cross. I don't need that blood-stained signature that says Jesus Christ paid in full. That's like Zechariah as well, is in disbelief. I need to open this present over and over again. I need to do this. I know those sins have been paid for. And the cool thing about it is there's sins that I can't read because they haven't happened yet. There's sins that I'm going to do tomorrow, but yet there's that signature across them that says paid in full, your Savior, Jesus Christ. I need to open it up and remember that that's this gift that has been given to me, and I will not remember those sins anymore. Here they are, signed, Jesus Christ, paid in full, and that fulfills this prophecy that Isaiah said, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember no more your sins. And again in Hebrews, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, me, and I will remember their sins no more. So each year when I do this, Easter time, throughout the year, you look at this again and you understand more fully and deeply this wonderful gift that we've been given. You can receive it more. I think you can get it more. I think you can own it more, and it can become more valuable as well. And I want to respond like Mary did when she got the news, not like Zechariah who questioned. I want to be like Mary. So I can't get this mentally. The God of all creation did that for me. I can't get my mind around that, but I'm gonna take it. And then I want all my being to be this song. I want to sing as Mary did. Everything that I have, every relationship I have, every action that I do, I want to be not to repay, not to make it equal. I want to respond because it was such a wonderful gift. So you too, if this last slide will come up there, Raleigh, I'm not sure it'll show up, but there is a similar cross that's yours as well. You might not be able to read it, but it says two and there's a blank there. Put your name in there. And in the upper right-hand corner is a whole array of your folders. You've got them. You've got folders categorized that depict the sins that you have created in your life, the things that you've done against God's will. They're there. And each one of those has got a file with a perfect description of what it was that was contrary to God's holiness. We all have that. You and I as well. If you don't believe that, I'm sorry. I will call you delusional because you're a human being and we all have it. This gift needs to be received. Perhaps you've never received it. Perhaps there's a cross with your name on it and you've not received that cross. In that is all of these things with your name signed on it. Every time you miss the mark, another file gets created and your signature is already there. When you receive this cross, when you encounter the Christ, every one of those instantly paid in full with the blood of Jesus Christ's name. If you haven't done that, if you haven't experienced Him saying, I will remember those sins no more, we need to get that taken care of. If you're being urged and pushed right now that this message is for you, come talk to me. Let's talk about that, because let's get those files obliterated. Jesus Christ paid in full. Or perhaps you're a follower of Christ and maybe you have forgotten how great it is and what a wonderful time this season is about, because we do force ourselves to re-remember the cradle and the cross and what has been done. And maybe you've forgotten about that a little bit. Maybe you need to unpackage and unwrap that present one more time to realize how awesome it was that your sins have been forgiven. And then we need to respond like Sheldon. We need to just get freaky about it, because it's that big a thing where he just gets so taken back and he wants to give everything he has, even something that's awkward for him, like a hug. We want to be like Mary, who just gives everything she has, all of her soul and song. And that's the kind of true worship that we want to have, submitting to Him in our actions, in our love, with all of our souls. That final question then I have for you is, how will your song be sung in response to the gift you've been given? Let's pray. Father, it is the time, it is the season for a cradle. We sing about cradles and we sing about lullabies. But we don't forget Easter. We don't forget that the purpose of that cradle was the cross. Help us this season to just more deeply embrace that. Help us more fully unravel and unpack how awesome of a gift that we have received 2,000 years ago as a people, and individually at our own time when we first took the steps to say, yeah, I receive you, Christ, as my Lord. Amen. Let's stand and be joyful, singing number 89, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Let's unpack this cradle and this cross this week. Let's delve more deeply in what that means for us individually, and let's shine that light to a world that so desperately needs it. Amen.